I know if it's full, we're going to have church. Amen. You have church with no one there, but you like people to be there. There's something about a crowd. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let me back up and remind you of something. If something is in Scripture, it's not something that we're going to do automatically without even knowing about it. It needs to be in Scripture. That means take note. Take note. There may be a struggle here. So walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of your flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. He's talking to people that are very prone. They love doing what the law said, and they love doing things that had been interpreted loosely and expanded, because the more things they did, the more righteous they felt by doing the things rather than being anything righteous. So that's why he said, you that be led of the Spirit, you are not under the Mosaic law. Something higher than that is governing you from the inside out rather than outside in. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Yeah. Amen. If we're going to say we have the Holy Ghost, it's what he's saying. If you're going to say you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, then let us allow this to happen. I can't allow it to happen in you. You can't me, but I can allow it to happen in me. Amen. I want to talk about this one subject. Walk in the Spirit. Yes. Sounds simple. And guess what? It is simpler than it sounds. God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless us today, Lord, by your presence. And God, let your word have an effect on us today. Bless us all in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated. Through the Holy Spirit, God lifts us up. Now think about this. God, through His Spirit, He supports you. Now I can walk on my own two legs, but I need God to hold me up a great part of the time. I need God to support me. So through His Spirit, He lifts us up, countering the pressures of burdens and trials, therefore giving me balance. He gives us balance. We don't soar too high. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to be up there above the clouds, because I got enough earthly things weighing me down. If I asked today anybody here dealing with an issue or a problem, there'd be a lot of hands up. Some of you'd be raising two hands and maybe one of your feet. Like, take note. You're dealing with some things. Everybody does. Life gets heavy sometimes. Life gets difficult. And you don't have to serve God, even in the power of His Spirit, very long before you realize no one is exempt from these things. Some time ago, you don't see this very much anymore, but you used to see people, you might have been one, that would put weights around their legs to go walking. Then they'd have on running shoes that were made specially to be light and airy so that you could run easily with them. But around their ankles were weights. Why don't they just get shoes like roller skates, take the wheels off, take steel-toed work boots, you know, something. But no, they would put these weights around their ankles. And what that would do is it's supposed to tone the muscles a little bit more and cause you to have more of a workout in a shorter amount of time. But when you took them things off, I used them one time. They weren't mine. I borrowed them and walked around for, 6-7 minutes. And when I took them off, it's like my knees were just coming up so high. My legs never felt so light. And I said, these are great. But in a minute, I was just back to normal. Little twitch in my legs now because those muscles are going, what in the world were you thinking? So, you know, if it weren't for the weights of life, we would all be soaring right now. The problem with soaring is you're going to be above situations that define us and strengthen us. And how do we identify with the world below if we're in another stratosphere? You know, what I always loved in school was the, I don't remember all the names they called it, but the Honor Society. The Honor Society. But my wife was in the Honor Society all the way through junior high and high school. I took some honors classes because I wanted to be in the same class as one of my friends. I did. I got straight A's. I thought, my goodness, why wasn't I in honors all the time? And it was fun. It wasn't math. Can't have fun in math. But the honors class, they take these kids that are on a little better level and they put them in there and they make good grades. I had a teacher told me one time, she says, you could make good grades if you wanted to. She didn't say much after that. She just told me that. There we go. But they do that because it's a certain ones they're dealing with at a certain level. And I struggled with math. I didn't like any of it. And I had a teacher, Miss J, and she said, you know, I don't understand why you're not getting this. I said, I'm not getting it because it's algebra, and I'll never get algebra. And I said, the same thing you say. How am I going to use this? How am I ever going to use this in daily life? I was in a ditch one time. Hard hat, boots, mud, tool belt. About, felt like 100 pounds of tools, wasn't that much. And this engineer, the survey guy, says, I want to show you guys how to cut that hole out to where it'll be a perfect oval in that, and you can block that in. Don't try to figure out what we're doing. And he showed me a trigonometry process that I was able to cut out and exactly on these two pieces and put them together, and that pipe that went in at an angle was completely encased with a perfect oval. And I told those guys, I said, how many of you guys remember in high school when you said, we'll never use that? I said, I wish I could have learned that. But that was that class I didn't take because I wonder if I have thwarted the hand of God when He's trying to lead me into a place of higher learning. And I've opted out of it. I've sat down and said, I think, Lord, this one's not for me. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. Patience? Lord, I don't do patience. I'm going to wait here until you're done with the trial of patience. And then I'll get back on board with everybody else. But see, we're weighted down by just life, and everyone is. But then, without the lifting of His Spirit, it would crush us. But He allows things to press you down because He knows His Spirit is going to lift you up. And there are times that He'll lift you up a little more and you may feel that lift and you know you're soaring. But when you've served God long enough, you're getting ready to reach out and grab a hold of what He's about to put in your lap. You can sense it. You know, God, I'm going to be ready. And your spirit begins to kind of condition you to be ready for what you're about to go through. And sure enough, you go through a dark place. But if it weren't for that sermon you heard or that word from a brother or a sister or that scripture that spoke to you this morning, if it wasn't for that, you would be confused. But now it makes sense and you understand through the power of His Spirit and His Word, He lifted you up because you were about to go through something very heavy and very difficult. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not walking around talking in tongues. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's the Spirit, and it's helping you to do that, but that's not what the life is talking about. Walking in the Spirit means I'm going through whatever I've got to go through, but I'm going to stay at the same level no matter what. Amen. If the load gets heavy, the Spirit is there. If the load gets light, the Spirit is still there regulating my behavior so I can walk consistently with God and not be hot and cold, hot and cold. Amen. Paul said, if you're that way, God might spew you out of His mouth. He wants us to be regulated by His power, and so that we can stay the way that we're supposed to be, giving glory unto God, giving glory unto God. Hallelujah. In one moment of time, Jesus felt the complete weight of sin's penalty settling upon Him. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to know today that wasn't the Almighty God in Christ saying that. That was the vessel of Jesus Christ, the baby born in the manger, totally giving up that spirit that kept him alive and kept him buoyed. And it was the flesh saying, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Showing you that that flesh was subjected to the ultimate pain of bearing the sins of a world and ultimate death in the next moment as he gave up the ghost, the Bible said. In other words, he went to the extreme edge, to the very epitome of suffering. He didn't take shortcuts. Oh, no, no. He went all the way to death and bore the sin and the guilt of the whole world. That's pain worse than death. A righteous lamb taking on the filth of a world that he's trying to save. But at that moment, Jesus paid the price for sin and released the antidote. Hallelujah. He released the antidote for your salvation because he went to the ultimate end and said, "I'm taking this for myself. Why have you forsaken me?" That moment right there, it was paid for. Amen. Because he suffered like nobody else has ever suffered. Thank God that you were willing and ready to give that message to your disciples and later tell them, "You go wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with the power from on high." It was resurrection power. It was power that raised him from the dead that he gives us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So forgive me if I get just a little irritated sometimes when once someone tries to spell out our religion, they may call it. And say, "Well, you know, we're really all pretty much alike. We just have different names on our signs." I'm sorry. No, no. What you're saying is people that walk in the Holy Ghost, exercise in the Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit, you know, we're all... No, 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 no. No, no, I'm talking about the jewels of Christ. I'm not saying that we're better than anybody. By the grace of God are we saved, amen. By the grace of God are we what we are right now. Oh, but it only works. It only is going to happen if we learn to walk in the Spirit. We're wasting our time otherwise.
That's right.
I'm not going to be a centerpiece for God anywhere, but he gets glory out of your life when you're an overcomer.
Yeah.
Because you do go through things. We will. But he blesses us. Psalm 34:19, it says, "Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will save him." He'll save you out of every one of them. "Many are the pressing down weights of the righteous, but the Lord picks you back up." And you're right there where you would have been yesterday at this same time. Those, the weight presses you down. The power of God lifts you back up. We're at the same place we were. God keeps us on an even keel if we keep him in front of us at all times. If we walk in the Spirit. Thank God for giving us the ability, the power, the privilege of walking in the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit-controlled life of the believer is the greatest life there is. I'm not trying to sell this to anybody. I've got examples right here and all over the world. We know that. There's nothing like giving God our all. I mean, like saying, "God, take total control of me." Amen. I don't want to argue about the points. I just want to say, "Give me all you got, Lord. I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours." You know, here, as I read before in Galatians 5, Paul, he used four distinct verbs to designate the Spirit-controlled life of the believer. All of them really are roughly the equivalent in meaning. And this is what he said: walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit.
Right.
He's all saying about the same thing. Just walk in the Spirit. Let God lead you in the Spirit. It's the same thing. He's just saying different parts and areas of your life. So in Paul's vocabulary, to walk in the Spirit or be led by the Spirit means to go where the Spirit is going. Don't stop if the Spirit is not stopping. Don't stop and take the Spirit off like an overcoat and hang it on a coat rack and walk into a place you don't need to be and then grab the Spirit on your way out and say, "Where were we, Lord? Let's keep on going. Hold my coat for a minute while I get on the internet because there's a place I want to go." And, you know, God may not really want to know about that, so he's going to turn a blind eye. No, he's not. You can't put the Spirit down. What you do is you soil the relationship with God when you do or go where you shouldn't go. Amen. I have to say amen to myself sometimes. Thank you. No, nothing of it. I can't stress this enough. What we receive in here is what we use out there. The changes that take place in here is what equips us for out there. That's what church is about. We get our teaching. We receive preaching. We get encouragement. We meet with each other and we feel that kindredness. And we know that all of us are going through something at any given time. We're going to come through. Some of you have come out of it. Some of you are going in. We go through trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord will save you out of every single one of them. Every one of them. God said, Lord, he's consistent like that. Amen. So we are built up by the word and also by our worship. So we can continuing walking in the spirit out there. Now, I want to go to the Old Testament. And we can still find all of this foundational issues there. Foundational blessings there. But in Genesis 12 and 1 through 4, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, and to a land that I will show you. So get out of there, and I'm going to lead you. And he didn't say, here's a map. He said, I'll show you. You just do the walking. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. I thought that was kind of a nice little ending to that sentence. And Lot went with him. Okay. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Childless, 75 years old. In that day, it wasn't considered ancient because he lived to be about 145. But still, he was aged, past the age of having any children. He was childless. And the Lord has given him a great promise. Every family is going to be blessed by your seed. And Lot was with him. I'm wondering if he might have looked at Lot and said, well, it must be going to be Lot, apparently. We'll get this worked out. It's really a classic example of a man who walked in the Spirit because he just took off walking. Didn't negotiate. We don't find where he, tried to get a new job there. Maybe if I can get a job, I can save some money. And when I think I've got enough, then I can, by that time, maybe God will pick somebody else. If I can just delay all of this, we come up with all kind of things to replace faith, don't we? It's hard to have faith in something that you just cannot see it happening. Here's the deal. Remember, God told him, your seed is going to be like the sands of the sea, as numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands of the sea. He has no children. So I want you to go and you're going to be this great man. Just get that weight of all that fullness of all of that. But it was before, this was before, of course, Old Testament, before the Spirit of God dwelt in anybody. So God spoke directly to man, and it was up to them to obey God. And the glory of God was in their obedience to what he asked them to do. That was the glory of God. It wasn't the Spirit of God dwelling, the Holy Ghost. No, it was just, you do what I ask. Verse 4 tells us all we need to know about Abram. It says, he departed as the Lord was spoken to him, has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That tells you about him. He just, Lord, is that what you want me to do? I believe he departed quite quickly. We don't know how many days or just maybe hours, but he departed. And, today we have a Bible that's full of instructions on obeying God and living a godly life. But Abram, who would later be Abraham, had only the voice of a promise from God. All right. That's all he had. I'm going to give you a land and you're going to be the father of multitudes. Stars of heaven, sands of the sea. That's mind-boggling. That is mind-boggling. That God's going to bless him to that degree and he has zero children. No children whatsoever. So Abraham's obedience would validate the promises of God. So his righteousness was counted on this one thing, and that is that he turned and took off for the land that God told him to go and possess. That proved right there that Abraham was faithful. He purchased further blessings simply by obeying God. Amen. We baptized a young lady here yesterday evening, and she obeyed God and wanted to be baptized. And so Johanna was buried in the name of Jesus in obedience to Scripture. Amen. Was buried. And when we do that, then we say, God, I'm doing what you have asked me to do, and we're using your name to do it, as they did in the Bible. And God takes care of the rest, and I know that he will. But we also know that God knows who he can call to do what. We know that God knows who to choose, don't we? I just want to the Bible says, make your call and election sure. I want to be prepared that if he calls me, he knows that I will go ahead and do what he's asking me to do. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Everything works together. God is the master of getting things started in your life and letting them all work together. You know, first, you know, we've got to walk in the Spirit according to purposes of God. We don't walk in the Spirit according to the convenience of our life. That's a weak walk. We don't walk in the Spirit according to how our moods are. Marriages don't work that way. Jobs don't work that way. Hey, boss, it's Monday. I know I did it again last week. I can't do it. I can't come in. Okay. No, there's no jobs like that. No, you talk to him on Monday at the job before the whistle blows, if you know whatever happens to start your work day. First, don't ever feel like a spare part in God's kingdom. If you're here today and you feel like you're just kind of on the edge, hoping nobody calls you out on it, you know, I hope they don't notice. A friend of mine, pastors in Bloomington, Minnesota, told me, Andrew King, isn't that his name? Indiana, okay. Them states up there, he wouldn't like that. He was taking some classes in Europe. And a man that was with him taking the classes says, hey, there's a string quartet, and they're going to be playing some classical music if you want to go. Man, have you ever seen a string quartet? It's the best of all of it. It's not too many violins. It's just one violin, viola, cello, bass. It's you know, of course, they can have, you know, two cellos, too. I don't know that much about it all, but it's a beautiful mix. He's describing the level of these are not amateurs, these are professionals. And he said, I was like, this is going to be awesome. I'm in Europe, and this is the flavor of Europe. He said, and I walked into that hall that was hundreds of years old, and they go into this room, very quaint, full of people, not a lot, but full of people. He said, I walked in and every individual there was dressed in tuxedos and the ladies were wearing evening gowns. He said, and I had on some jeans and a blue shirt tucked in. He says, you talking about feeling out of place? He said, so they took us up to the front row because that's the seats that were left. And I'm walking up there, sitting down, and he said, you could just feel all these eyes. Who does he think he is? Levi's in a blue button-down shirt. He said, but, oh, the music was awesome. And I said, oh, I bet it was. That had to be a great affair. See, the music sounded just as good to him or better because he's on the front row than all the tuxedos and evening gowns. It sounded just as good. Didn't matter what he was wearing. It mattered to him, and it may have mattered to some of them, but the music was still beautiful. That's the part that God's concerned about. That's why he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Because he knows that your ears are going to make a way for his word, and his word has got power, and power will resurface in your life, and it will transform you because his power is oh so transforming. Because if you can hear, that's all you need to do initially, because that's how you get the power of God in your life. He chose the preaching of the word to save them that are lost and called it foolishness, Paul said, by the foolishness of preaching. Oh, it's a foolish thing that we do, but it works. It saves people. It kept me in the church. I'll tell you, it kept me in the church. Thank God that we love preaching, that we love the word of God. Don't feel like you're just a spare tire in here and, oh, I don't fit in. You are exactly where you need to be. Doesn't matter what you are on the outside. God is looking on the inside. He has a word for you today. He's saying, I love you the way you are. Please excuse me if I do a work in your life and improve you and let my spirit lead and guide you into all truth. Amen. Yeah. Don't worry about details. God takes care of those details. That's why we have preaching and teaching. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have a memory of Kathy Hickson. You'll see a picture of her here. And when we were in Fort Lauderdale, we had been there just a few years. And boy, that picture brings back a lot of memories. I've talked about her a lot. And she was one of our first contacts. And my father-in-law had told me about her, you know, and her brother had called and he was kind of a minister starting out and had just gotten the Holy Ghost in Kentucky. And he called him and said, my sister's down there. She's strung out on some drugs, cocaine and stuff and parties and all that. And he said, listen, we were raised rough. It was a rough upbringing. And she's just, sin is just, taking its toll. But if you could just just get her to come to church. My father-in-law connected with her and started teaching her a Bible study. And oh, I can't go into all the details, but she right off the bat was said, Brother Seal, my father-in-law, said, Brother Seal, God can't save somebody like me. He just can't save me. She said, you don't know what all I've done. She goes, I mean, I've done some horrible things, and some horrible things have happened to me. And you can tell by that picture some wonderful things has happened to Kathy Hickson. And we took over after my father-in-law left. My wife and I were still there as her pastor. And my wife worked with her and at her house, literally, they had a pool business where they built and cleaned pools. And I remembered, as I saw the picture, I remembered driving my UPS truck out of a dealership as I made a delivery. And there was Kathy and her husband, Cliff, and he's from Montserrat. Little guy and hard worker, but they were in a fountain, cleaning the fountain out. And I stopped and honked, and she waved and because we had met at church. And I'd barely met her. But I remember seeing her there and just thinking, Lord, I hope you can save Kathy because, oh, my, she's bound. And that memory will forever be burned in my mind. And as my wife worked with her, we got to know her past a lot better. Had her brother that actually witnessed her come and preached at our church. That was a great day. When Kathy was 18, she went in her room with a gun and held it until her dad opened the door, and she said, this is it. One more step, she said, and I'm ending all of this. And that's how her horror story stopped, at least at her home. She said, I went from there, though, out into the world, trying to block out all the noise and all the pain and all the suffering and parties and more drugs and met her husband, married him so that he could, move to America and get a citizenship. She said, but they're still together today. But I'll tell you, it moves to this picture here. And the next photo is Noelle and Sean with their baby and Everly Joy, is that it? Joy is such a joyous name. I love that name. But that is Sean, and he's the youth pastor of the church that we pastored. And that's what happens to the people that come out of the world, and God gets a hold of them, and he allows his spirit to lift them up. Yeah. Although sin has been pressing them down, he cleanses away the sin, and the past begins to dissipate slowly, layers at a time, because the grace of God begins to sustain you. Amen. Sean there was born while right around the time Kayla was. They're very close in age. They grew up together, and actually they played together, spent time at their houses, and it was awesome when I go to camp meeting and such to see Sean and Noel and to know that they're a vibrant part of the ministry of that church right there. And to me, it made me understand that when I met Kathy, his mother, her life was messy and complicated. And she said, God can't forgive a person like me. She felt like that we had a pretty good thing going, but she said, God can't help somebody that's as bad off as I am, because you all don't know what all I've done. And then she started finding out about grace, and she started finding out about the mercy of God and forgiveness for your sins, the power that was in baptism. When she came up out of the water, something happened, and she felt a cleansing touch of Jesus Christ in her life. I want to tell you something. Don't count yourself out and think you can't be a part of the body of Christ. He's got something for you. He's got something for you. Oh, he loves trophies. He loves to shake these in the devil's face and say, devil, you ain't got a thing on her anymore. Sin has lost its hold on me. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. You've been delivered. Because we learn how to walk in the Spirit according to the purpose of the Almighty God. Souls are searching for what we have right here today. How in the world do you get this way? How do you get to a place where you can have this power? I want to tell you, we are people that are all about stages and steps. We do. You know, we let's do this, this, this. And the Bible tells us, when they ask, you know, Simon, what do we do? And he said, repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we know that you don't repent. Repentance is just to turn around and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. And it's an intention to say, I'm not going back there. Knowing that it's by his power that's going to keep you from doing that. But repentance is just a very short thing. You just ask God to forgive you. And often, very many times when somebody repents, they have sorrow. Remorse, and that's a great thing, because it means you've truly opened up and you're telling God, forgive me of my sins. I have seen people receive the Holy Ghost, and so have many of you, within a matter of seconds. Because when they raise their hands to worship him and tell him, Jesus, I love you, and I want you to dwell within me. And as they praise him, people have described it differently, and I'm glad it's different for everybody, because it's not like one way that you feel or know. But I've heard people say, it's like my mouth went numb, and suddenly I was saying things that I didn't know I was saying. People, I can tell you this, at 8 years old, I didn't even know it was me talking in tongues. I just heard it from a microphone, and I knew it was the power of God. And I have reminded the devil of that every time he told me, you didn't get anything. And I said, oh yeah, I did. I heard it with my own ears. Don't pick on children, because Jesus loves the little children. Amen. I told him that. Amen. I had to do it as a teenager. Souls are looking for this today, and you can have it in a moment. In a moment. But you got to be repented. Repentance. It means this. It means an about face. See, that means I'm turning this way. Sin's back. I'm turning my back on sin. Too many people like to do this. They just look back and say, No, you didn't repent when you look back. You're just glancing back at righteousness. We got to turn away from it and say, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. How in the world can we have fun if we don't sin? I mean, that's a good question. See, I'm so nice today. I could have said that's a dumb question, but it's not. Because when you're used to just doing things that the biblically are wrong, morally are wrong, when you're used to doing it, it's really kind of hard to just break the habit. So what you got to do is say, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me, and my intention is to never do that again. No, turn around. And you got to go that way. By the power of the Holy Spirit within you. By the power. But if you have a reservation, if you have a reservation, you know there's places you can get a reservation for one? Sadly? No, if you do that, that's not sad. That's awesome. But I mean, if you see one person sitting, if I'm sitting in a nice restaurant by myself, I'm telling them to put a plate over there and put something in it because I want to act like at least somebody came with me. That's just what I do, I think. But I haven't do that ever. A few times, Cracker Barrel, things like that. That's all right. But if you have reservations, you need to question yourself. Why? What in the world am I hoping for? What am I wanting to gain? You've got to turn your back on sin and then raise your hands and say, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want it, Lord, more than anything. More than anything, God, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Souls are searching for what we have here today as I'm getting ready to close. You have the privilege of walking in the presence of the Lord, walking in the Spirit, where it's holding you up while the world, your thoughts, your life, your past may be trying to press you down, but oh, God's going to balance you out and He's going to pick you up. I'm under burdens right now, but they're not weighing me down. Because, you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, really, this is your department. He's got it. Your Father, He's got room for that. But we must love God. You can't love the world and love God. Love God with your whole heart. Have you ever had a good interview at a job and you knew you nailed it? You just felt good about it. What happens then? Well, they call you. You have a good interview, they call you, you pick up the phone, and they want to have a conversation. But how you respond to that call is going to determine what happens next. I'm busy right now. Got another interview I'm having in a moment. Filling out another application, but I'll call you back if I need you. Yeah, no, they're not going to respond that way. But if you need a job and you did an interview and they call you, what you do next determines if you're going to work there. It's going to require going back there. If you want to work, you got to go back there. What we do once we feel conviction, once we feel something pulling us, what we do next is going to determine, Lord, am I going to walk out of here and smile away this conviction with a few conversations and handshakes? What am I going to do? If you walk in the Spirit, God will use you. If you serve your base nature and put God off until you have a convenient season, His purpose cannot ever be accomplished in your life. You've got to say, this is it right now. And here is the crux. And this is my very last point to read to you. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This prevents failure. It prevents failure. Listen to this part very closely. Some people get this backwards and they walk in the flesh. Then they prevail on God in the Spirit to get them out of another bind. Got to say that again. Some people get it backwards. They walk in the flesh. Even after receiving the Holy Ghost, they walk in the flesh and then prevail with tears for God to get them out of another bind. They're up, they're down. They're up, they're down. They got it backwards. No, we got to do it right. We've got to do it right. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Then you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in this. This is the most simple thing to say. But it's an easy concept to get if we stand. Walk in the Spirit on Sunday. And then on Monday, walk in the Spirit. Definitely on Tuesday through Saturday, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You will not then do what your flesh craves to do. Practical terms. People that walk in the Spirit, they talk to God a lot. Why? Well, you're in the Spirit. You're in His house. You're in His presence, so you talk to God. Walking in the Spirit means you're about the things of the kingdom of God. You talk to God a lot. And if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to do the other things. You won't fulfill what your flesh is craving and wanting to do. You got to block it off and say, Lord, it's me now. This sermon is for a general audience. It's for everybody. Because I know a lot of frustration and spiritual failure comes from people not knowing how to just say, Lord, I want my life to be Spirit-led. Sounds like a boring life? Oh, no. It's the greatest life there is. This is the greatest. Once you are totally sold out and committed, it is the greatest life there is. But if there's a constant pull, if there's a constant pull, I believe it was the singer Mary McGregor. I got her first name right. She wrote a song. It became a hit many years ago. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Loving both of you is breaking all the rules. We've all heard it. We're old as me. Torn between two lovers. We've got to decide. Lord, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. God, you are our Lord and Master. You're the Savior. We are here, God, examples of you. We're examples of your purpose, examples of your divine power. And Lord, I love you and thank you so much for this atmosphere we have here. But Lord, we would do a disservice if we thought this was all about just an atmosphere and some songs and clapping. But Lord God, I know this today. You're reaching for some soul. You're reaching for some souls. Someone needs to cross the line. Somebody needs to make a choice. And to make it comfortable as it can be, I'd like us to gather down to the front. And with that group, come on down if you need to make God your Lord and Master. If you need to let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you need God to refill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'll tell you what, it is very important to let Him come back and refill, to redo what He did. One of the worst situations to be in as an apostolic is to run low on that oil of the Spirit of God. Your reasoning is off, your vision is blurry.